Well, hello and welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast. My name is Tim and I'm here with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today we're going to be discussing how to develop apologetic discernment.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, at 1 Minute Apologist, we want to give credible answers to curious questions that Christians have, that all people have as they journey through life. Last week on the podcast, we talked about why churches are resistant to apologetics. There was some objections that a lot of Christians might have towards apologetics, and we took some time to just kind of address those, give some answers to them, and help give you just some helpful hints on how to deal with those questions if they come up. So if you're listening to this podcast and you've enjoyed it, please subscribe and share. If you're listening to it on iTunes or Podbean, please feel free to leave us a review. We love reviews. That helps us continue to move up in the rankings so more people are exposed to the podcast. And with that, we are going to dive in. So Bobby, when we talk about apologetic discernment, what does that mean to you?
Well, when we think about this idea of discerning, we're talking about, you know, judging properly. You know, how do you cut something down to its core and really figure out kind of the nuts and bolts of something? So when we talk about somebody having a discerning spirit, we want somebody to be able to first and foremost be able to understand what their worldview is, and then to be able to properly discern our doctrinal beliefs as it relates to some of the challenges that come up. So I think a Muslim or a Mormon or an atheist, for that matter, they're people who hold to their beliefs, and they too are exercising discernment as it relates to what they believe. So the atheist is looking to discern where things are out of kilter with his atheism. The Muslim's looking to discern where things are out of place or out of boundaries with the beliefs of the Quran or the Hadith. And we as Christians, we first and foremost, we look at the scriptures, we strive to understand who God is, who man is, how do we get reconciled to him? And then through that, we go into the world and we have a view of it through a Christian lens, and we seek to be very discerning about the difference between truth and error. And that's really what we're after when we're discerning, is to make sure we discern what is true from what is false.
Okay, that's good. Well, maybe talk a little bit more about, in a conversation, how might we do that? What are some things that we should be listening for? What are some of the things that we should be aware of to make sure that we continue to do this well?
As we work on our discernment in the context of relationships, we do want to be careful that we don't come across like we're these be-all, end-all, know-it-all kind of people. We want to be able to realize that sometimes people say statements and they're not meaning to, you know, offend our apologetic passion. So if somebody says something like, oh, I don't judge, and then we jump on them right away and we've discerned, yes, you do. Was that a judgment? Well, we have to be careful that we don't just go and cut their morale off, because sometimes we get so excited to utilize our roadrunner tactics or to go off and use some of this different rhetoric that we have. And we want to be able to build relationships with people. And see, sometimes people, they're not aware of the category mistakes that they're making in their conversation. And I'll tell you what, have you ever been with somebody before, Tim, and you just feel like they're looking at you and discerning you and feeling out every single thing you do? It's uncomfortable. And so I want to be discerning as I'm with people, but I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable by the fact that I'm trying to discern what they're saying. Otherwise, they're going to pull away from there, because they're going to feel like I'm just sitting there judging every single thing that they say.
One of the things that I have experienced is kind of being on the opposite end of that. Sometimes when I feel like people are, for lack of a better term, kind of coming in hot when they're talking about these different topics or different discussions, yeah, and having to say, well, let's take a step back, let's kind of reevaluate where we're at, and then let's try to move forward maybe with some common goals or what's one thing that we want to discuss today. You had mentioned a word earlier that I'd like you to define a little bit, and that was rhetoric. So when you talk about rhetoric, what does that mean? Because I think rhetoric sometimes probably has a bad idea when it comes to like political rhetoric, or it almost seems like it's filibustering.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how you meant it. So when you're talking about rhetoric, what does that mean for you?
Well, I'm talking about how we're going to be persuasive and how we seek to persuade people and not just using our words in this persuasive way where they lack any sense of sincerity or compassion or care for the individual that we're talking to. So rhetoric, the way that we speak, our speech, how we talk about something, if somebody just feels like we're constantly just looking them over with a razor's edge, they're going to feel uncomfortable. So we need to be discerning when we're hanging out with people, but we also need to be discerning about our own thoughts. So that's a big thing too. We often think, oh, we're going to go and exercise these tools of discernment. But the Bible talks to us and reminds us that we are to make sure that we are discerning ourselves and that we capture every thought and we bring it into captivity. We hear about that in the scripture. So we want to capture our thoughts, bring it into captivity in order to assess it, to make sure that we're not being swayed astray.
One final point on this that I'd love to get your insight on is, what are some key steps to developing this discernment? Like, what are some things that we should keep in mind? How do we develop it? What's that process look like?
If somebody said that they were a classical musician and they were somebody that was going to write a bunch of reports about different styles of music, right? Different genres, be it jazz or rock and roll or country. If somebody was going to make that claim that they were a classical musician, and if they were going to be somebody who was going to be sort of a music teacher, educating about these different genres of music, that particular individual would need to study and know classical music, to listen to classical music. And we, in the same way that call ourselves Christians, if we're going to speak into the different worldviews that are out there, the different genres of beliefs that are out there, so to speak, but we're going to say we're Christians, we need to read what we have that tells us most about Christianity, and that's the sacred texts of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to read the Bible first and foremost and know what the Bible says. But as we're going to be talking about in another podcast, we also need to know how it is that we are to interpret the Bible so that we can properly discern. Otherwise, we might just get a good emotional buzz and take the scripture out of order in a little devotional time and go off and say something without discernment. Spirit and truth. There's coming a day when my people will worship me in spirit and truth. And it takes discernment to do that.
That's great. So this last kind of section of the podcast is a new section that we're going to add in this week, and this is some listener questions. So if you are listening and you have some questions, feel free to shoot us an email, info@oneminuteapologist.com. This week's question is, with all the religions and different gods, how do you prove our God is the true God? So if you had to answer this question in a few short minutes, how would you do that? Well, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a important question for us to consider. I mean, think about this whole idea, even with Homer and Hesiod. These were the ones who existed with their playwrights. They were the poets before Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. And, you know, they had all these different gods in the Greek pantheon, right? And what ends up happening is Socrates comes along and he starts using Socratic dialogue. He starts helping people to discern what it is they believe, winnowing things down. And they are able to quickly see that these gods were competing with one another, the claims that had contradictory claims. And so Socrates was able to discern that, you know what, they all can't be right. And so they might all be wrong, but they can't all be right. And so one of the things that would just help me is to realize that polytheism isn't true, because you end up with these gods in the polytheistic belief systems that have contradictory claims. So when I remove polytheism, then as a person who is theistic in my belief system, I'm left with Judaism, I'm left with Islam, Christianity, Sikhism. There are some beliefs like deism, but I would say I kind of winnow it down to that point and I go, well, why am I not strictly a Jew? Because I believe that the resurrection, if Jesus rose, he did die. If he did die, he did live. And when he lived, he said he was going to die and rise and come again. And he affirmed the Old Testament saying he came to fulfill it. And so I sit there and go, I believe in Judaism. I just believe that Jesus completes it. So now why not Islam? Because I don't believe in that later revelation. And I think that the vision of God, Allah, is contradictory to the triune God of Christianity. And then you go, okay, well, then what about deism? And I go, deism, you don't have a personal God, and the triune God is personal. And so I basically just start thinking like that. I just start eliminating through the whole process of thinking. And so, for example, with love, you think about God in a strict monotheistic view. I think that the triune vision of God trumps. And you want to know why? I think it trumps because on Islam, Allah, he's going to have to learn how to love. Because to love requires that you have another to love. Mm-hmm. And our triune vision of God, it's one God existing in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who have eternally existed in a triune relationship. And when God creates us, well, he's ready for the task. He doesn't have to learn anything. He just allows us to share in what he already is, personal.
Well, and there you have it. That's a fantastic answer. I would also point everyone back to our website, oneminuteapologist.com. There are a number of videos that kind of give some more evidence for the truth of the resurrection and the truth of Christianity specifically. So kind of Bobby summed up there and just said that we can believe that theism is true. There's videos that we have on that, and that we believe that the resurrection is true, and that we have tons of videos on that. We've interviewed Mike Lacona. You've done some on your own. I think there's actually a playlist on there that has some evidence specifically for the resurrection that anyone that wants more information about that can check out. So thank you so much for that question, Bobby. Thank you for that wonderful answer.
You bet.
And if you have enjoyed this episode, please consider reviewing it or giving it a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about what to do when Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that. If you are interested in asking Bobby some follow-up questions, once a month we have a webinar for all of our team members, our supporters. And so if you'd like to become a supporter, you can head on over to oneminuteapologist.com and click join there. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.